this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So this week is a special.
Yes.
Special.
Since Christmas. And our second Valentine's Day special.
I know, it's funny, we always seem to do a Valentine's Day special.
Yeah, well, we're full of love.
Why don't we do an Easter special?
Well, do loads of films based around eggs.
Yeah, or bunnies.
Or sex. We could just do...
Hey, steady on.
Do a review of the porn
steady
industry.
Steady on there. We could do top 10 best erotic films.
Yeah.
Ooh,
maybe,
that could work.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe take a note. Take a letter. Secretary.
Well, we had to listen back to last year's podcast.
Well, I listened to last year's podcast. I took the hit for the team because good grief, it's awful.
We've come a long way since then.
Yeah,
right?
We certainly have. It's shockingly bad. I can only apologise to those who've stuck with us through thick and thin over the years. If you listened to that last podcast, wow.
Do you know what? I'm going to throw a crazy fact your way.
Yes, go on then.
I had a look at the download stats earlier today.
All right.
And the Valentine's Day podcast from last year is by far our most downloaded podcast.
Oh, no! Oh, my God.
We've had just under 30,000 downloads of that podcast.
Oh, that's shocking. No, that's so embarrassing. And that does make me think we should edit that. Because that it is really poor. Right. Oh, dear. Oh, no.
That's it. That's our letter to the world, basically. Oh. That one and The Godfather, which is about 25,000.
That's not too bad, though, is it? The Godfather one, I remember
it being quite long.
Yeah. I'm almost blushing. I'm so embarrassed. That's awful. Oh.
Well, let's make this year's better, right?
Okay. This is the one. From now on, this is the one.
This is going to be top quality podcasting.
And last year, we talked about films which were about people falling in love. We went for romantic films. Films that we found... really kind of captured that kind of feeling. This year, we're doing the opposite.
Yeah, breakup films.
Breakup films. Rather than a St. Valentine's Day, it's a St. Skeletor's Day list.
It's anti-Valentine's Day this year.
For those of you who have never heard of that, St. Skeletor's Day was something invented by Richard Herring. It takes place on the 15th of February, and it's all for people who are single.
Oh,
so yeah,
like Skeletor.
So
never
Skeletor.
Never found love.
Evil Lynn never reciprocated his advances. So yeah, this is a list of our 10 films that we feel capture the feeling of breaking up with someone.
Or, misery,
or
basically.
Or being dumped.
Misery and self-loathing.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a touch of that. I must admit, I've never been one of those people who gets upset by Valentine's Day when I've been single or in a couple. I guess I just don't take it massively seriously. If I'm in a relationship, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll cook you dinner, you know, buy you some flowers. Yeah. If I'm single, I'm like, yeah.
It's because you're a very well-adjusted
I guess
man.
So. Yeah, because some people really hate it when they're single. I'm like, yeah, someone will come along. They always do. Lewis.
Oh, look at you with your little cherub face.
Yes.
Smiling eyes.
So, top 10 lists.
Top 10, okay.
Yes. Okay, these are in no particular order. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Just looking to me for confirmation.
Yeah. I just want, So there are no particular.
The cursory order. Nod of the head, yes.
Indeed. Our first one is Swingers.
Swingers, great film.
Yes.
Great. Your money, baby! Your money!
Yeah, Vince Vaughn, when he was painfully young, he's so thin in this early
we
film.
We used to Fat Vaughn now.
Well, you are used to Fat Vaughn, but oh, it's great. It's Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau. Who went on to direct Iron Man.
Iron Man, yes. Iron Man.
Slightly different films, Swingers and Iron Man. Now, this, I would say, is like... It's like the male breakup film.
Yeah.
The breakup film you watch when you have been dumped or you've broken up with someone.
Yeah.
And in fact, this is how it was introduced to me. I think I'd just broken up with maybe my university girlfriend, so my long-term girlfriend of the time. And my friend Jason, our friend Jason, said, we'll watch this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brilliant. It's exactly what I needed at the time.
It's a great film because it's more like a celebration of male friendship than anything else. Really.
Yeah, and it isn't... it's not about women being horrible or being bitches or anything like that. It's about a man just coming to terms with the fact that once at time of his life, the relationship has ended and he has to move forward and decide what he wants to do next.
Yeah.
And with his friends kind of bitching and bantering and
there's some good banter in this film.
Yeah, fantastic banter, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, they take the mick out of him, but at heart they really want him to succeed. and it's all about kind of helping him and pushing him. And it captures that great 90s swing scene of LA. Do you know when swing music was massive in the 90s and all those pork pie hats and the bowling shirts?
Those 2 weeks.
But it's a great film. And I, in turn, have almost like a symbolic male thing. I've, in turn, where friends of mine have broken up with their girlfriends, I have then shown them Swingers and it has helped them.
You've passed the flame.
Indeed, I have. And I think that's what this film is. Very important to the male psyche.
So next on the list is, the epitome of breakup films, High Fidelity. Which is basically a series of breakups.
Yeah, yeah.
A detailed series of why the kind of relationships ended.
Now, again, this is another film very much from the male perspective. And I think actually looking at our list, most of these films are from a male perspective. When we were coming up with this, I think in my head, when I was like, oh, okay, breakup films, straight away, the first thing that kind of leapt to mind was kind of like the cliched image of a woman eating a big tub of ice cream after breaking up with her boyfriend. And actually, there aren't many films which talk about breaking ups or relationships coming to an end from a female perspective.
I can sort of see where you're coming from, definitely. Although, there's the other thing is that there are films like that, it's just we haven't seen them.
No, but I mean, we did a bit of research, didn't we? We had a look on the internet. There aren't that many. Most of the films we got down were our list.
Yeah.
And there weren't many, because we were trying to think, because I was trying to think of, let's try and have some more lady-friendly ones.
Lady-friendly.
You know, films from a female perspective. But there are very few.
Yeah, it's true. I definitely agree. I found the same thing when I was looking for breakup films. And yeah, there's not that many. There are a few. Like Sex and the City, there's one.
Yeah, again, I suppose so.
Something I've really watched, but
no, but that's in a way I kind of didn't really think about that because I kind of see that as a spin-off of the TV show.
Yeah, well, I once The Holiday.
The Holiday.
That's about a breakup, I think. I can't
remember. Oh, that's not that.
It's that one with Jack Black.
Right. Oh yeah with Kate Winslet.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Unlikely pairing those two.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe there are one or two.
There seem
to be a lot more. With mopey men.
Mopey men. Do you think that's because they're written by mopey men?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I think that is exactly it.
Writers just generally are mopey men. This is what they come up with.
Well, High Fidelity is essentially a kind of almost autobiographical film about...
Dick Hornby, archetypal
mopey man. Quite. With John Cusack playing a very good mopey man.
Yeah, it's a very good film.
Yeah,
my favourite bit is the bit where they hit that guy in the face with the telephone.
Right, yeah, in the kind of imagine sequence. Yeah.
Oh, I watched that on YouTube the other day just because I wanted to watch it. Just like, yeah, lunchtime, I'm just going to watch that telephone man face thing.
I think it also very captures, and I don't think this is just a male perspective, I mean, it's a universal perspective of you thinking that the grass is usually always greener.
Yeah.
Of sometimes when you're in a long-term relationship, it's easy to just think, wouldn't it just be easy just to start all over again when it's all fresh and new? And also, but you know, understanding and appreciating that that kind of freshness doesn't last forever.
Yeah,
actually, a real relationship is getting past that initial rush, and working out how to build something more kind of solid.
Yeah, you've got
to
work at relationships, right?
Yeah, and if anyone takes anything from today's podcast, I want it to be that.
Exactly. You've got to work at it until the point where it just feels more like a job than actually fun. And at that point, maybe you should think about breaking up.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And talking, bringing us neatly onto that, is our next film on the list, The War of the Roses.
No, I've not seen this one.
You've not seen this? Michael Douglas and Kevin Turner and Danny DeVito?
The Romancing the Stone team?
Yes! Yeah, the follow-up, this is almost like the unofficial third film of the trilogy.
Do you know, I saw The Jewel of the Nile the other day.
Yeah.
God, it's racist, isn't it? I
I've not seen either of them in a long time.
I was watching The Jewel of the Nile, I was like, oh my God.
Doesn't that have the kind of like, is The Jewel of the Nile the... It turns out it's the man.
There's a lot of comedy Arabs in that film. It was uncomfortable viewing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, I guess it's of its time.
It is of its time,
you can say. Now, The War of the Roses, I must admit, I've not seen it in a while. But what I do remember it does is it's interesting in that the plot is Kathleen Turner, Michael Douglas play a kind of seemingly happy, almost perfect couple, and then Halfway through the film, Michael Douglas, you know, there seems to be a couple of little tensions starting to emerge, and then Michael Douglas looks like he thinks he's having a heart attack, and Kathleen Turner realises that she was almost relieved when at the thought of him dying, and so they decide to get divorced.
Yeah.
But it descends them arguing over the house. They've bought this beautiful house.
Right.
And they are, you know, neither of them willing to give up this beautiful house.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It kind of starts like that. So, and then almost by the end, it becomes like an adult, macabre version of Home Alone, with them kind of like trying to kill each other, almost setting traps for each other in the house, trying to humiliate each other and destroy each other. And Danny DeVito plays like the divorce lawyer, kind of just commenting upon it all.
Okay.
And one interesting thing I read, that it's this is in Germany, there is now the term Rosenkrieg, or as a literal war, you know, or Rose War.
Yeah.
And it's come from this film, and people use it to describe a very particular divorce. So not many people actually remember where it's from. And so it's had this massive cultural impact in Germany.
How weird.
But yeah, one thing, not to ruin it, it doesn't have a happy ending.
Ah. Well, that's perfect for our misery podcast.
Exactly. But you know, like, you, if I described that, I'm sure you were just assuming it all ends with kind of a nice, sweet ending.
Bit of reconciliation.
No, it ends actually a really nasty, brutal ending. So it's true that it's kind of, for that reason alone, I think it kind of gets my admiration for not pulling any punches.
What's next? Annie Hall, again.
Now, this is a film we've discussed several times on the podcast.
Yeah, well, Annie Hall cropped up last year, didn't it, in our romantic films, top 10 romantic
films.
Yes,
and of course it was our second ever podcast.
That's right, interminably long second podcast. Great film. Still a fantastic film.
It is.
If you've never seen any Woody Allen film, just go straight in with Annie
Hall. Straight with Annie Hall, yeah. It's great. Last year we talked about its depiction of people falling in love. And of course, the other side of the coin, it is also very good at showing a couple breaking up and just how those characters kind of deal with that. And, well, you know, it's like a lot of breakups. It's not a quick, clean break. It's a messy break, lots of overlap.
Yeah, and you kind of see the relationship kind of dissolving gradually, but the characters really aren't aware of why it's dissolving. But, you know, from the third-party perspective, you can see what's happening. And
like a lot of, the thing, it's an important relationship to these characters, and important relationships don't just end.
Yeah.
They break up over the period of 5 years. Yeah. Sometimes, like, relationships don't, you know, a big relationship won't just one day go, yeah, we're not suited anymore. No, I don't think we are. Bye. They're more like, yeah, come on, we are suited, aren't we? Yeah, let's make this work.
Yeah,
exactly. 6 long months or, you know, even longer.
Yeah.
So that's what I think this captures fantastically well, is two people who can't understand why they don't like each other anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, it's kind of clear, it's one of those things where, you know, they meet and there are glaring things that are different about them. Like, Annie's really into kind of going and doing stuff, and Woody's more into kind of, you know, just staying at home.
Yeah,
and
Woody's not just Woody.
Woody's just Woody.
Yeah.
And, you know, he wants her to be more intelligent, and she's, you know, she doesn't read plays and things like that. So it's kind of, there's these obvious things that are different about them.
And also not only that, you know, he wants her to be more intelligent. And then when she starts to become and better herself and go to classes, he gets threatened because he doesn't have the control over her anymore. So, you know, but what I do like about it is that eventually it does come to an end, and it ends on a kind of forward-looking positive note about accepting that the breakup was nasty, but it doesn't take away from the value of the original relationship.
Exactly, They look back with fond memories.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Woody Allen is still a blind spot. I'm doing my best. You know, I've been watching a few Woody Allen films and trying to catch up. But it's still a blind spot, as I think he's done a few films about the breakup of relationships and the ending of relationships. Manhattan has, you know, a few breakups in it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next film is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Another one on our list. I think this is actually number one on our list last year. We're not putting them in order this year. Which is interesting, because this really is all about a breakup, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I watched it again recently. It's one of my favourite films, and I think it's one of, along with Annie Hall, probably one of the most truest depictions of what relationships are actually like. You know, there's, particularly about the way the characters have their little quirks, and, you know, they do little things together, like trying to smother each other with pillows. It's like
those silly little things.
Silly little things. And it's fantastic film. And it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But also kind of like, it's such a positive message at the end. We go into these relationships. Would you go into a relationship if you knew how it ended?
Yeah.
And the answer is yes, because hope always triumphs over over kind of experience.
And I think the one thing that the bit that always that always sticks in my head about this film is the scene where he goes and he goes into the bookshop and he sees her there after they've broken up, and he sort of speaks to her, and he doesn't realise she's had her mind wiped.
Yeah.
So he doesn't realise, and if you haven't seen it, it's all about a piece of technology that can erase bad memories, essentially. So she's got all the relationship erased because it hurts too much. And she's just like completely like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. And he's like, what?
Mm.
And even though there's a silly, in inverted commas, sci-fi premise for the fact that she doesn't remember him, I think what it captures is that feeling of like, I don't know who you are. Like that when you see someone you used to go out with,
mm.
and you ask them or you talk to them, and then you're thinking, you were completely different. Did I even ever know you?
Mm.
That kind of thing, like, of someone just being so different to how you remember them, or the person you thought they were, or they treat you or act in a way which you just didn't expect them to.
Yeah.
And it actually really shocks you
mm.
that you're like, we were together like 3 years, and why are you talking like this to me? Or why are you acting like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it captures that way. Yeah, in a strange way, even though it's this kind of silly premise, it really captures that kind of how relationships end and how you feel about them.
Mm.
Next one.
Now, this is one, again, we talked about a lot last year.
And interestingly, it wasn't on our list, officially on our list, but we talked about it lots.
Mm.
And in fact, I think we talked about it when we were talking about Annie Hall for some reason. 500 Days of Summer.
Starring Tommy from Further Off Tommy in the Sun. We had to get a mention. Yeah. Every podcast, we must mention Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Otherwise, our podcast film license will be rescinded. I mean, it's a weird clause we got on ours. But we have to obey the union rules.
That's it.
Yeah, I think Tommy's got an agreement with the podcast union. So yeah, we're forced to mention him. But, 500 Days of Summer. Now, I think that what's interesting about this film, it is flawed.
Hmm.
It's got real glaring flaws. You've still not seen it.
I've still not seen it. Tell me about it again.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Tell me about it again.
It's got some really glaring flaws. There are bits of it that just don't work. But there is something about it that, in the last podcast, I talked loads about it.
Hmm.
And in this podcast, I'm not going to talk quite so much about it. But I feel it has an impact. There is something about that film. And I'm reading on the internet as well, people seem to sort of agree. Everyone sort of says there are things wrong with this film, but there is a certain power to it. It somehow reveals a certain truth, or it has something about it.
It's got an eternal truth to it.
Maybe, yeah. And I think there are two things that it does really well, or two scenes that really kind of stand out. One where you, and it's all, and both actually are about perception of the characters. Tommy plays a guy, goes out with Summer, the girl who played by the lovely Zooey Deschanel.
She pretends to be a geek, but really she's not.
What do you think?
She's not really.
Shut up! You take that back. You happen to be talking about the woman I love.
It's like Clark Kent, where he puts on glasses and he's not Superman. Same with Zooey Deschanel. As soon as she takes off those glasses, she's just a hot woman.
Because Superman is Clark Kent. That is a secret to Superman. He is essentially Clark Kent. He's a decent guy. He just happens to have superpowers.
Is he?
Whereas with Batman, and that's the other person we always have to mention, Batman is Batman. Bruce Wayne is the disguise.
Right.
Superman, in a way, is the disguise, and he's really Clark Kent.
So you're saying he's pretending to be Superman?
Not pretending, but he is, you know, Superman is as decent a guy.
So is Zoe pretending to be a geek? Or is she a geek pretending to be a hot woman?
I got lost in the metaphor there. but the great thing is, it is about perception in this film. There's a great sequence where you see Tommy going to sorry, I just made Melissa laugh about calling him Tommy. Tommy going to a party. Before he goes, he imagines what the party's going to be like. Him getting back together with Zooey Deschanel's character, Summer, and then you see what the party actually happens. And they have a split screen where you see what he imagines it's going to be like and what it's actually been like. I suppose it's kind of trite, but I've never seen it done before.
Mm.
And it really captures that feeling. I don't know about you, Liz, but I've certainly done that. Imagined, oh, I'm going to go on this date, or I'm going to go to this place, or there's a girl that's going to be at this thing who I like. How's this going to go? And you, without trying, you suddenly imagine this entire thing.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, of course it's not.
Of course not. No, of course you end up going back home, watching Swingers, and just crying into your bedsheets.
No, you probably only want to watch Swingers. You probably sit there in a drunken haze watching one of those god-awful phoning quiz shows on ITV.
Or trying to get the 15 minutes of free porn on the adult channel.
And, yeah, no one's happy with that.
No one comes out of that well.
No, and the other great little sequence is where he... Yeah, you see the opening film is him, them kind of having a date, and then she seems to break up with him from nowhere. You see it again, and again, a little bit more from her perspective. You just see how distant she is with him and how he's kind of blinkered himself to not see it.
Yeah.
Those little things.
So a good film.
Yeah.
A good film.
Good film, but there are big flaws to it. So it always stops you from completely
recommending. How can there be flaws? It's got Tommy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Incredible. I know. Right. So next on the list, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Now, this is another film that you've seen and I haven't.
Now,
it's like we're flipping the tables
around.
I know,
because last time it was loads of films that you'd seen and I hadn't. Now we're
it's flipping around.
That says a lot about us, isn't it? You've seen lots of films about love and I haven't. I've seen lots of films about breakups. Oh, dear. Yes, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I actually watched this just over the weekend, just on a whim. Again, flaws.
Mm.
Got some flaws to it. It's funny. It's got some really funny moments. If anyone ever wanted to see Jason Segel's penis, you get to see it several times in this film.
Oh my god!
Quite like, you're like, oh okay, they're going to do the funny thing where he's naked and then they don't show. Oh no, they're showing it. Nope, they're it's just there. It's just there hanging. Just there hanging for a while.
Was it good?
It's perfectly adequate. It's in proportion to a man his size.
Well, I'm pleased about that. I'm glad for Jason.
But it's a film that, yeah, has some really funny moments. It's got some weird mixed messages, though.
Right.
It depicts Sarah Marshall, the character, you know, Jason Segel plays a kind of nice guy going out with a film star or a TV star. They break up, and he then ends up going on holiday, and would you believe it, at the place, she's there with her new boyfriend, Russell Brand. Who's playing basically Russell Brand. But Russell Brand is a rock star. He's good at it. He's used well in this, actually.
Is he?
He's used because he's just himself.
God, imagine going out with Russell Brand. Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
That's the whole thing about him is his overt sexuality, isn't it? So it's, and that's what they kind of riff on this film. And, you know, like, she's depicted for first half of the film, you're so on his side because it's Jason Segel. He's a lovely guy, isn't
Jason,
he? He's a nice guy.
Hey!
And he's sad, and you're like, oh yeah, she must be horrible. And there's a really interesting bit where she just basically has a go at him and says, how dare you keep running me down? You know, I tried so hard to make that relationship work, and you never even noticed. You know?
Yeah.
I was always trying, and you just did nothing to contribute. And you're like, ah. Yeah, good, yeah. Like, actually not just running women down. Actually saying, the relationship's foul for a reason.
Yeah.
Usually it's both parties. But then it kind of ends with him just calling her a bitch. And you're supposed to go, yeah, she is. And you're like, well, she did bad things, but... Yeah, there is some blame on either side.
Exactly,
yeah.
You just sat around the house all day not doing anything.
And you're like, So, I don't know. Again, funny, but... I think Judd Apatow gets this quite a bit, doesn't he?
Mm.
Like, you know, accusations that women aren't always particularly well depicted in his films.
Yeah, and yes, I can imagine that, actually.
Yeah.
Watching This Is 40, I was like, yeah, this is a bit male perspective-y.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I guess it was, we were saying, mopey men.
Mopey men.
They're the worst. Okay, our next film, eighth on our list, is Closer.
Closer, not the women's magazine, the film.
The film, written by Patrick Marber.
Directed by Mike Nichols.
And starring Natalie Portman, Julie Roberts, Jude Law, and...
Clive Dunn,
yeah, we were saying that. We were trying to remember who was in it before. And we both were like, I want to say Clive Dunn. It's Clive Owen. I would love to see Clive Dunn.
No, don't like it off the Closer. Like it up and...
When he's in the strip club throwing money at Natalie Portman's character.
Don't panic!
Granddad, we love you.
All the American listeners are just puzzled now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Look up Clive Dunn.
Clive Dunn. Now, Closer, I've only seen once, and I saw it quite some time ago. I remember it being not bad, but a little bit pretentious.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a good summation of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, reading about it again today, I think I'd quite like to see it again, because I remember at the time thinking, oh, it's quite an interesting film, particularly in the way it depicts the varying relationships between these people.
They basically all sleep with each other.
Basically, they all sleep with each other.
Two couples, and they kind of crisscross.
But basically, my only memory of that film is the bit where Natalie Portman is in the strip club.
Yeah, that's my overriding memory as well.
Pretty much it. There were other bits as well with some men in them, but really, it's just Natalie Portman.
Is that why you want to watch it again?
Yeah,
I want to fast forward.
I want to watch Clive Dunn rutting.
Doing that face when he's having a heart attack. It'd be great to have the whole of Dad's Army there. Just number 9 on our list is The Wedding Singer.
The Wedding Singer.
Adam Sandler.
You don't like Adam Sandler.
I like The Wedding Singer.
It's a good film.
Everyone has an Adam Sandler film they quite like. And this, I think, I would say this is mine.
And Jack and Jill's mine.
Oh God, that and Funny People. Funny People's not bad as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Wedding Singer. I mean, it was kind of like the first 80s nostalgia film, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
And like really self-consciously 80s nostalgia.
Yeah. The bit where he comes in, it's like, I got a CD player. Oh
yeah, I know, lots of things like that. And there's that bit where she lists loads of couples, going, you just know some couples are going to work, and she rattles off, you know, like
Jean Pierre Madonna,
yeah, Princess Di, and and Prince Charles. Yeah, couples you just know they're going to work. It's also got Billy Idol playing himself, that kind of king of 80s.
Apparently he hasn't aged since the 80s.
It doesn't look like it. I don't know, just loads of makeup.
What did
or
they
maybe
do?
They used that kind of CGI thing they used on Jeff Bridges in Tron.
Maybe. Or maybe they just put a big kind of like bulldog clip behind his face, just pulled on his skin taut.
That's exactly what they did. But that great bit where he breaks up with he's been dumped.
Was it Drew Barrymore?
She's the new one.
Yeah.
And he sings the song, which has been half written when he was still with the girl, then half written after he broke up. So it has like this kind of lovely, like, I love you, like, but it all was bullshit. Screaming.
That's it. You want to make it choke? Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
There's also the bit where he goes back to get his Van Halen t-shirt from her, which is a great little scene. And he's like, take that t-shirt off before you jinx the band and they break up.
And Drew Barrymore is adorable in this. She's lovely.
Manic pixie dream girl.
Not quite. She's, you know, shown to have her own needs and wants and desires.
Although you love her.
I do love her. I love her.
You love her.
Along with Zoe Deschanel and Natalie Portman. Those three women. You happen to be talking about the three women I love. You leave them alone. And lastly on our list, the greatest breakup movie of them all.
Casablanca. So what about wanting to be together, but you can't be together?
This was on our list as well last year, but sod it. It's our list.
Yeah.
They're our podcasts.
And any chance to mention Casablanca, really, which is clearly the greatest film ever made.
Yeah, the greatest film about love, but also showing just how terrible breakups are.
Mm.
He leaves, he runs off to Africa. The breakup's that bad.
That's it. He starts running a bar.
Yeah.
I don't know why that really is.
Colludes with the Free French.
Exactly.
I mean, that's how bad it is.
Exactly. Craziness.
And I think, like all the films we mentioned, we talk about them as depicting breakups. Most of them end on a positive note.
Mm.
About either people finding new love, or just moving on, or being able to kind of go, all right, that happened in my life, and that's still, yeah, that was a thing that happened to me, an experience, and I'm glad I had that experience.
Yeah.
And even though the hurt was horrible, it was worth the hurt. The relationship before that, the love I experienced, was worth the hurt.
Yeah.
And he has that great line, we'll always have Paris, I didn't have it, and you brought it back. You allowed me to, even though we're not going to be together, allow me to have that relationship,
memory,
that memory.
Oh, it's so good. Such a good film. I want to watch it now.
And I think, let's end our list on that note. Breakups, they're horrible, but ultimately, as long as you had some happy memories, and perhaps take those happy memories, don't linger on the breakup, just remember the nice bit at the beginning.
Oh, that's a good message to end on.
So,
that's it. If you want to recommend some films for us to watch, please write to 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen@gmail.com.
Yes, you can follow us on Facebook on 101 Films. Please like us. Come on, for our 50th, let's get over 50 likes. Come on!
Everyone hates us.
I know. And you can also follow us on Twitter on, again, 101 Films.
That's it. And check out our blog at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen.com.
So, listeners, whatever you are doing for Valentine's Day, wherever it might be, wherever you are being with a loved one, I don't know, feeling each other, chocolate-covered strawberries.
If you're feeling each other up on the sofa.
Or if you're just by yourself, feeling yourself up on the sofa. I hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Yes, listeners, happy Valentine's Day.
And if you do want to spice things up in the bedroom, why not play this podcast? Listen to our dulcet voices.
That's it. Whilst looking at a photo of Tommy from Fair Rock for the Sun.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Portman, Julia Andrews,
Julia Andrews,
Julia Andrews, Julia Andrews, Julia Andrews.